Well, here we are on Wednesday nights, and I just love to hang out with Christians. I love this church. I can't think of a better place to be. And, to get into God's Word, and we want to take some time tonight before we get into the book of Colossians next week that we'll be beginning as we continue through the Bible. And we're going to take some time and just remember what the Lord has done for us, because the book of Colossians is talking a lot about the preeminence of Christ and who Christ is, and so we're going to dig into that. But tonight, Paul was writing to the church there in Corinth, and there was a lot of similarities between Corinth when what was going on in that time and what's going on in this time. There were a lot of people coming to church that were pretty messed up. I mean, they were fairly carnal people. In fact, they had one guy who was sleeping with his stepmom. So you think things were bad, bad now. Well, they were bad then. And these guys were like all, hey, man, we're loving him, man. Just letting it go, man. And just peace, love, and toleration and all, If he wants to sleep with his stepmom, pray, God works it out. We're not going to say anything. Because we don't want to judge, And Paul had to deal with them and get things straightened out and say, hey, that ought not to be happening, guys. And your toleration of that is wrong. Of course, if you read the whole thing, so they finally, said, you can't continue to call yourself a Christian. Come to church if you're going to, be in complete rebellion to God. And so they turned him over for the destruction of the flesh. They disfellowshipped him. And then he repents. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, hey, quit mistreating this guy. Bring him back in. He's repented. He's confessed it. He's gotten his life straightened out. Now why are you keeping him up? Well, he was blowing it. So we really don't want to hang around with those kinds of people. One extreme to the other. And that's kind of a tendency if we're not really walking in the Spirit. That's what happens, And so Paul is writing to this church, and he's been talking to them about many things, but he comes now down to the communion, the Lord's Supper. And he's talking to them and giving them instruction as to how and what attitude they should have when they come to the communion table. Because that was also out of line, as we read here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you have Bible, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. One is hungry, the other is drunk. What, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or are you to despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I don't praise you. What's wrong with you guys? He says, man, when you get together, you're bickering and fighting with each other. And now listen, there are those who are not believers who, they're going to bicker and fight one with another. And that just reveals who they are. But as far as the church goes, there should be a unity, a harmony. In the body of Christ, there ought to be a love one for another. But here's what you're doing. You bring that same kind of attitude that they have out in the world. It's all about me. It's about, what pleases and satisfies me. And you don't put others before yourself. You come to the potluck. You get in line. You fill your plate to overflowing because you're first in line, and you don't give a care about anybody coming after you or consider anybody coming after you. And then add to that, you're getting drunk. What is going on, man? That's not what's supposed to be going on in the church. That kind of carnality, that kind of, you know, a practice, you see, that's what you do out in the world. And listen, if you want to do that in your house, you know, and eat and drink, you know, I mean, go ahead and drink and eat and have a good time. But that shouldn't be happening among God's people. And he says, I don't praise you in this. And then he lays out the kind of attitude that we should have when we come to the communion table. He says, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Important practice, by the way. That's my responsibility as your pastor. Not to tell you and give you my opinions, but what I've received from God, from His Word, through the Holy Spirit, you see, I am to give to you God's Word, not mine. And so, listen, if it's from God, guess what? It's going to be in here. If it's not in here, and I'm giving you a word, guess what? It's not from God. That's which I have received. You see, you got to spend time preparing, though, to receive. You see, that which I have received, that's what I am giving and delivering to you. What was that? Well, he recounts the Passover meal, that the Lord Jesus, on that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, because of what he's just said, that's right, isn't there, when there's a therefore, we find out what it's there for. He's referring to what he said previously. He says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, there are many that are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If one is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I'll set in order when I come. He's saying when we come to the table here, we need to examine ourselves. Time for taking a look. How's it going with you and the Lord? How's your life when you look at it in light of the Lord's design and desire for you? Are you a little closer this month than you were last month? Are you beginning to drift? You see, the Lord calls us to remember. He brings us to the table to remind us of the love that He has for us, the price that He paid on that cross for our sins. He tells us to remember that sacrifice because He knows our tendency to forget what we have been given through the cross. That forgiveness of our sins. That power to live a godly life. The provision of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, giving us insight and teaching us and enabling us to walk as He walked. To live as He lived and to love as He loved. Are you growing? Or have you drifted? You see, here's the deal. When we sit here as a church, we we sit here, all of us, including myself, before God. God with whom, well, there's nothing hidden from Him. He knows the thought you're having right now. Right now. Oh, right now. Like, how many times is He going to say that? See, He knows you're thinking that. He knows the thought that you're having. Okay, so when's this? You know what? Let's get back to the music, okay? I like the music better. And I remember thinking that. I remember thinking, I remember. God knows, you know what? God knows right now if you're thinking about what you're going to do when you get home. He knows if you're going over, you know, sure hope this deal comes through. I mean, He knows. So He says, listen, communion, get together, remember what I've done for you, remember the sacrifice that I made in your place on the cross and the love demonstrated to you. Don't forget how much I love you and what I purchased for you. You can come boldly now because of what I've done on the cross. Whatever the need to pay attention. We have that sometimes, don't we? The need to rekindle passion. The need for maybe a fresh direction. Maybe the need for a reconnection with your spouse, with your husband, your wife. Maybe a child that's drifted away. Maybe a mother or a father that there's been some problems with. And you've allowed bitterness to grow in there. And God said, hey, come to the table. Remember how I broke down those barriers for you to come. Remember the love that was shown you and the grace. Are you showing that same love and grace? Oh, God, I can't. I mean, they were such an idiot. How can I ever? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the Bible says. You can. Why? Because He said you can. Well, I don't feel like I can. I know you can't. I didn't say you can. You can as He lives in you. Really, technically, He can if you'll let Him live in you and through you and do what He wants to do to you and for you. So how are you doing? How is your passion for the Lord? And I'm not talking, when I say how you doing, sometimes we get in our mind, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this and I'm doing, it's called MS, Martha syndrome. Some Christians have a serious case of MS. Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm running around here doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm doing this. Wait a minute, hang on. Is that what we're talking about? No, that's not what we're talking about at all. Jesus died on that cross and paid the price, not so you could be doing a bunch of stuff. He died on that cross and paid the price so you could come and have fellowship, communion. That's what we're having, communion. This is a commemoration of the communion, the intimacy, the hang out thing with Jesus, the relationship, you see, where we talk to Him and He speaks to our hearts and He tells us how He loves us and we respond to that love by appreciating Him and just sacrifice. God, help me to love like You love and to live like You love, Lord. I don't just want to do this, though. I want to be what You've called me to be. You see, He created you to have fellowship with You. Not just to run around and do this and do that. In a marriage relationship. Well, I'm doing them, doing. Yeah, but you won't sit and talk to me. You don't hug me. You don't tell me that I'm beautiful. You don't really let me know you appreciate about me. You don't really even look into my eyes and want to see me. But, oh, yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff. But is that what you want? Don't you want some kisses and some hugs and a little affection? And little eye-to-eye conversation. Guys are going, no. Yeah, that's why we need help. So God created us a helpmate to help fix us, okay? To give us a perspective that we don't have. But you see, it's all about that. As guys can be doers. You ladies can be doers too. Get so busy, you're not paying any attention. Mommy, mommy, when the kids are always going, mommy, 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 and you're just, you've learned to kind of tune it out and you're not paying. Why? Why don't you pay attention? Just sometimes if you just sit down and give them a little of attention, you can like avoid several mommies, you know. Because you stop for a moment. Said, yes, sweetheart. You see that? That's what God wants. We get so busy running around. So what he's done is he's provided for us what he knows we need so desperately because we can get MS and so busy. He's provided for us this opportunity to gather with one another as his body. We belong to one another. We all make up the body of Christ. And it's bigger than just this church. There's a far larger body that he's speaking of. But for our time tonight, we're here, and that's this body. And we are to join together. And it's interesting. Jesus, when he took the communion, he broke the bread. And of the same loaf of bread, they all ate. Of the same cup, they all drank. The picture, of course, is, hey, this is something we're doing together. We're into this together. We love Jesus together. We're all part one of another. And we need to consider one another and love one another and look and say, God, am I where I should be, where I could be? Examine yourself. Don't be afraid. Judge yourself. That's what it says here, doesn't it? Judge yourself and you will not be judged. You know what? Don't wait for somebody to say, hey, man, don't wait, husbands, for your wife to say, hey, you're blowing it. Yeah. Well, why did she? Well, you are too. That's usually the response, right? Or I wouldn't if you didn't. Listen, why wait for somebody else to say it? God's saying, look, take inventory. How's it going with you and the Lord? In your marriage, in your life personally, with your family, in the church body, at work, your witness, you see, with your children. How's it going? Oh, Pastor, you don't want to know. You know what? I don't need to know, but he does. Question, what needs to change? I don't think that I can. Jesus died on the cross. And he rose again from the dead to give you power to be what he's called you to be. Don't tell me you can't change. Because it's not you that will change. It's him in you that will make the change. But you've got to be in him and into him. You see, and that's why God calls us together. And he calls us to the table to remember what he's done for us on the cross. That we might enjoy, not be just doing and trying to earn. We have that, well, you know what? God loves me, so I'm going to earn his love. I'm going to be doing more. I'm going to be, if I just do more, maybe I can get him to do something for me. If I just do more. And we get into that mode. God says, that's never where it's been. It's never where it's going to be. You know, you look at the story of the prodigal. The prodigal, we know, he spent all his money and partied and, you know, partied hard. He ended up in the pig pen, came back to dad. Dad threw a robe on him, took the signet ring, was glad he was home, threw a party for him, killed the fatted calf and welcomed them back in. That's a picture of God's love. For those that fall, falter, and struggle. God's grace. But there's another guy in that story. You know the older son? The older son. Interesting guy. When the party was going on, he was mad. He left the party. Dad, seeing he was gone, says, "Hey, what's going on with you?" He went out after him. What's going on? "Well, you know, I've been doing everything around here, and I've been serving you, and I've been faithful. And you know what I've been doing, Dad? I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I've been doing this. And you never threw a party for me like you threw a party for him." He says, "Hey, all I've had is yours. And you know what? Haven't you been with me this whole time?" You see, the father wanted him to be with them. But you know what? This guy had the same problem as the other son. It was about the stuff. I'm not getting. And the father, you know what? He wanted a relationship. And both of the other son took his stuff and partied hardy. The other guy was very busy doing everything and being diligent, expecting his father, "Well, you never killed it for me, and look at all that I'm doing." Don't we do that with God sometimes? We think that doing, it's being with God. That's why Jesus says, "Don't forget, I love you. And I want you, as often as you do this, to do this in remembrance of my love and in the fellowship opportunity that I purchased for you on that cross of Calvary, and of the victory that you have if you'll just depend on me." And tonight we come to the table with that kind of attitude and heart. "Lord, search me," like David said. "Know me, try me. God, if there's any wicked way," you say that tonight, "Lord, if there's any wicked way, right here, right now, Lord, my desire is not to go on like I am. My desire is that you do that work of changing. You've shown me. You've searched me. And God, now do your work in me." And then you see the sacrifice he made on the cross. What are you willing to sacrifice? To love him, to spend time with him, to listen to him, to pour out your heart. It takes a sacrifice. Time, energy, effort. But it's a sacrifice that always pays abundantly. So we come tonight to the table. And we come discerning, in other words, understanding why it is that Jesus died and the love he has for us. And we drink in celebration and commemoration of that sacrifice made on that cross. Of the opportunity and the revelation that he's given to us through his word as his spirit speaks to our hearts. And tonight, if you've come and you don't know Jesus Christ, you see, if you're not born again, if you have not discern the body and blood of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? Well, what was it for? Well, he hung on the cross and bled and died for you. You see, you deserve to die. You deserve to carry around the guilt and the weight of your sin. And you deserve hell, we all do, for all eternity because of our failure to live our lives rightly. But God in his love sent his son Jesus Christ, who lived his life completely, perfectly, rightly, did always what pleased the Father. And then he died to take what we deserve. The sin, soul that sins will die, the Bible says. Adam and Eve were told, "You eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's it, man, you're going to die." Spiritual death and physical death resulted from that. Jesus came that we might be born again, that death could be banished. spiritually, that we could come alive and be what God's called us to be and no longer be addicts and slaves to sin and carry around the weight and the guilt and the condemnation that pushes people down into depression, that pushes them down into suicide, that pushes them down into hopelessness because they've tried desperately to fix themselves. They've gone to everybody and everything. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. I won't burden you down with a bunch of stuff. My burden is light. I'll give you rest and refreshment and recreation for your souls, but you got to come. Tonight, if you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, you know what? We'd love to have you join with us in this meal because it is a family meal. It's a family celebration. Jesus invites you to be part of this. But if you haven't given your life to Him, then you're not in His family. How do I get in the family? Well, you need to first of all confess that you're a sinner. Do you realize you don't have it together yet? Okay, you say, okay, check, got that one. I recognize I don't have it together, can't get it together. And I've certainly messed up in my life. Okay, I confess that. Secondly, are you willing to change? Oh, man, Pastor, come on. Are you kidding? I'd love to change. Are you willing to turn from the way you're going? I mean, to really make a deliberate turn and turn your back on the things that you've been doing and the way that you've been going. I've made, Pastor, that promise so many times that I was going to do that. Yeah, but you don't have the power to do it in and of yourself. But if you're willing to turn and then begin to head towards Jesus Christ, and walk towards Him and put your faith not in yourself, not in any program of man, but put your faith solely in Jesus Christ and trust Him and ask Him to come in and be your Lord and be your Savior and be your God, then guess what will happen? He'll give you the power to change. You see, without Him, you can do nothing. If you realize that, guess what? You can do all things through Him who strengthens you. You don't have the strength. He does. You can't save yourself. He can. And He will. The only thing that keeps you is either your pride, like you still think you can do it, or your pleasure that's becoming slavery. Oh, it feels good for a minute, but I'll tell you what, it takes you down deeper and deeper and deeper until you're drowning in that pleasure, and it's painful and perverse. Jesus says, you come to me, and I can change that. I can give you life, real life, abundant life. I died on that cross, paid the price because of my love for you. If you'll simply come to me and put your faith not in you, but in me. Tonight, if you haven't done that, we'd love to have you join with us by coming and giving your life to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, I want to give you an opportunity as we enter into this time of communion, just before we do, to join the family, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to call upon His name, and to leave here a changed man, a changed woman, by the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time. And Lord, we pray now that, Lord, that You would draw those, if there's any here tonight that don't know You, that You would draw them to Yourself. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anyone here tonight, you don't know the Lord, you want to know Him. You haven't made that step yet. You want to say, Dennis, pray for me. I'm not sure my sin is forgiven. I don't know that I have that hope of heaven. You know what? I want that hope. I need to change my life. I need Jesus to do it. And I confess that I'm a sinner. I'm willing to give my heart to Him. If that's your desire, wherever you are, I want you to lift up your hand and I want to pray for you. Anyone tonight, God bless you. Anyone else, God bless you in the back. God bless you over here on the side. anyone else. God sees the heart that's attached to the hand. It's between you and Him, not between you and anybody else. Don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking, because they're probably worrying about what you're thinking. And you need to think for yourself. You need to make this decision yourself. Anyone else? God bless you in the back on the side. God bless you over here on this side. Anyone else? Just lift up your hand. God sees those hands between you and Him. Just want to slip up your hand and say, I want Christ to save me. I want to put my faith in Him. God bless you in the back. And you way in the back there. God bless you over here on this side. And God bless you. Anyone else?